The Land of Stories, The Wishing Spell has captivated millions since its 2012 release, launching actor Chris Colfer, known for his role in Glee, into literary stardom. This New York Times bestseller spent over 100 weeks on the bestseller list and has been translated into 29 languages, becoming a cultural touchstone for a generation of young readers. What makes this modern fairy tale so compelling is how it reimagines classic stories we thought we knew, asking, what if fairy tales weren't just stories, but gateways to another world? The book's enduring popularity has spawned a series of sequels, a dedicated fandom, and even a film adaptation in development. As Neil Gaiman once noted, the best fairy tales are the ones that live between worlds, a principle Colfer's debut novel embodies perfectly. Alex and Connor Bailey couldn't be more different despite being twins. Alex is studious, meticulous, and thrives academically, spending countless hours in the school library and raising her hand for every question. Her dedication to learning often leaves her isolated from peers who find her intensity overwhelming. Connor, on the other hand, radiates natural charm and wit, drawing others to him effortlessly. Yet he perpetually battles to keep his eyes open during lessons, his desk becoming an impromptu pillow more often than not. Their stark differences extend beyond personality traits into how they're processing profound loss. Following their father's tragic death in a car accident, their mother Charlotte works double shifts at the local hospital just to make ends meet. The financial strain forced them to abandon their cherished childhood home, filled with memories of bedtime stories and their father's warm laughter, for a small rental apartment. On their 12th birthday, their grandmother, a mysterious figure who visits only occasionally, presents them with a heavy, leather-bound book titled The Land of Stories, explaining it's been in their family for generations. That night, while completing homework, Alex notices something extraordinary. The book begins to pulse with an ethereal blue light and emit a soft, musical humming. Curiosity overtakes caution as she reaches out to touch the glowing pages. When her arm mysteriously sinks into the book, she loses balance and tumbles headfirst into its depths. Connor, returning from the kitchen with a snack, witnesses this impossible sight and, without hesitation, dives in after his sister, exemplifying the protective bond they share despite their differences. They crash land in a lush, magical forest that feels strangely familiar, as if pulled from the illustrations of their childhood fairy tales. The trees tower impossibly high, their leaves shimmer with an otherworldly gleam, and the air itself seems to sparkle with magic. Their bewilderment only increases when they encounter Froggy, a well-dressed man with green, webbed hands and a frog's head, who speaks with impeccable manners and offers them tea in his underground home. Froggy reveals they've entered the Land of Stories, where fairy tales aren't just stories, but living history. He explains how Red Riding Hood has transformed from a simple girl into a confident queen ruling her own kingdom, while Snow White's evil queen has recently escaped her mirror prison, spreading fear throughout the realm. The big bad wolf's descendants, massive, intelligent wolves with a taste for revenge, now lead organized packs that ambush travelers across the territories. When the twins confess their accidental arrival from another world, Froggy produces a weathered leather journal, its pages filled with detailed maps and cryptic notes about the wishing spell. This powerful magic requires 8 specific items from across the kingdoms, from a lock of Rapunzel's hair to a jewel from the evil queen's crown. The journal's author, whose identity remains a mystery, successfully used the spell to return to another world. Recognizing their desperate situation, Froggy entrusts them with this precious guide, though he warns that others may be seeking these same items. Thus begins the twins' extraordinary quest across a landscape where fairy tales come alive and danger lurks behind every enchanted corner. As Alex and Connor journey through the Land of Stories, they discover that fairy tale characters have complex lives that continued long after their stories ended. These aren't the sanitized versions from children's books. They're fully realized people with flaws, regrets, and ongoing struggles. Cinderella, now pregnant and married to Prince Charming, maintains a display room of her humble origins, brooms, buckets, and raggedy clothes to remember where she came from. She confides in the twins about her difficult transition from servant to queen. Everyone thinks marrying a prince solves all your problems, but it just gives you new ones. I went from having to clean the house to having to run one. This vulnerability humanizes the princess who once seemed to have the perfect happy ending. Snow White carries the burden of her stepmother's imprisonment, regularly visiting the dungeon to understand why someone would try to kill her 4 times. Despite being labeled the evil queen, Snow White spared her from execution, hoping to find humanity in the only mother she'd ever known. Even Red Riding Hood defies expectations. Rather than a sweet little girl, she's grown into a self-absorbed young queen who named an entire kingdom after herself, while her grandmother does most of the actual governing. She's caught in a love triangle with Jack of Beanstalk fame and Goldilocks, who is now a skilled swordswoman on the run from the law. The most surprising transformation is Sleeping Beauty, who hasn't slept since being awakened from her 100-year curse. She vows, "I promised myself and I promised this kingdom that I wouldn't rest until it was restored to its original state." She keeps the cursed spindle as a reminder that even the worst curses cast by the most powerful enchantresses can eventually be overcome. These reimagined characters show that Happily Ever After isn't an ending, but a beginning, with new challenges that require the same courage their original stories celebrated. The Wishing Spell requires 8 specific items from throughout the fairy tale world: a lock of Rapunzel's hair, Cinderella's glass slipper, bark from Red Riding Hood's basket, jewels from Snow White's coffin, Sleeping Beauty's spindle, the knife of the Little Mermaid, a stone crown from the troll and goblin territory, and a fairy's tear. This magical scavenger hunt takes the twins across multiple kingdoms, each with its own dangers and wonders. In Rapunzel's abandoned tower, they find strands of golden hair between the floorboards. At Cinderella's palace, they attend a royal ball where the queen herself shows Alex her famous glass slipper, which mysteriously appears in their bag afterward. In the Red Riding Hood's kingdom, they narrowly escape a castle fire after obtaining bark from the famous basket. Their most dangerous adventures come in the troll and goblin territory, where they're imprisoned but lead a successful escape while retrieving the stone crown shared by the kings. In the dwarf forests, they collect jewels from Snow White's glass coffin while evading the big bad wolf pack. At the bottom of the treacherous thornbush pit, they find the Little Mermaid's knife among skeletons and writhing vines. Throughout their quest, the twins face constant danger, from the witch who tries to eat them, until Connor wishes her into becoming a vegetarian, to bridge trolls demanding riddles, to the big bad wolf pack hunting them across kingdoms. Each item they collect brings them closer to home, but also deeper into the magical world's conflicts. What makes their journey compelling isn't just the magical items, but the moral choices they face along the way. Should they steal Cinderella's slipper? Is it right to break Snow White's coffin for jewels? These ethical dilemmas force the twins to consider the consequences of their actions, even when motivated by their desperate desire to return home. Perhaps the most profound revelation in the Land of Stories is that its greatest villain has a heartbreaking origin story. The evil queen, Snow White's wicked stepmother, wasn't born evil, but became that way through tragedy and manipulation, challenging readers to reconsider everything they thought they knew about this classic antagonist. She was once Evely, a kind and compassionate village girl who dreamed of a simple life with her true love, a gifted poet named Mira. Their romance blossomed in the quiet corners of their village, where they would spend hours sharing poetry and planning their future together. However, their happiness caught the attention of the powerful enchantress, who saw Evely's beauty and innocence as tools she could exploit. When the enchantress kidnapped Evely, planning to use her to control the Northern Kingdom through a forced marriage to nobility, Mira demonstrated the depth of his devotion by tracking her down through dangerous magical territories. The Enchantress's cruel response to this act of love would set in motion a tragic chain of events. In a display of magical spite, she trapped Mira in an ornate magic mirror, not killing him, but subjecting him to a fate perhaps worse than death. Though Evely eventually managed to poison the Enchantress in an act of desperate revenge, she discovered that the mirror's enchantment was irreversible, even with the Enchantress's death. Forced to watch as Mira slowly lost his memories of their love, trapped in an endless reflection, Evely made what she saw as her only choice. She sought out a powerful witch to turn her heart to stone, believing that numbness was preferable to unbearable grief. This transformation marked the beginning of her descent into darkness. She methodically orchestrated her rise to power, using a carefully crafted love potion to enchant King White, then poisoning his pregnant wife. Though Snow White survived this attempt, the act cemented Evely's transformation into the Evil Queen. As years passed, a cruel irony emerged. Snow White grew to bear a striking resemblance to young Evely, and the magic mirror, containing what remained of Mira's consciousness, began to favor Snow White in its pronouncements of beauty. This preference drove the queen to increasingly desperate and violent attempts on Snow White's life, each failed attempt pushing her further into darkness. When Alex and Connor finally confront her in her castle, the queen reveals not only her literal stone heart, but also the true purpose behind her obsessive collection of the wishing spell items. Her goal was never about power or revenge. It was always about freeing Mira from his glass prison. The tragic culmination comes when she finally succeeds in freeing him, only to have him briefly recognize her before dying in her arms, his spirit too long trapped in the mirror to survive in the physical world. This revelation leads Alex to one of the story's most profound insights. I think what I've learned from all of this is that villains are mostly just people villainized by circumstance. This nuanced perspective challenges the binary thinking of traditional fairy tales, suggesting that the line between hero and villain isn't as clear as we might believe. The Evil Queen's story serves as a powerful reminder that behind every villain's actions often lies a complex web of pain, love, and impossible choices. Throughout their adventure, the twins encounter increasingly mysterious connections to their father's childhood stories. They find the legendary Curvy Tree from his bedtime tales growing in the remote dwarf forests, its distinctive spiral trunk exactly as he described. In the Fairy Kingdom, Coral's unusual pet, a silver-scaled fish that walks on tiny legs, mirrors perfectly the walking fish their father claimed to have befriended. These seemingly impossible coincidences multiply. Landmarks appear exactly as described in his stories, characters remember a boy matching his description, and even specific phrases from his tales echo in the locals' memories. These breadcrumbs of truth culminate in a stunning revelation when they discover that the leather-bound journal guiding their quest filled with detailed maps, warnings, and instructions bears their father's distinctive handwriting. Each page reveals intimate knowledge of the kingdoms that only someone who had lived there could possess. The truth unfolds fully during their climactic meeting with the fairy godmother in her crystal palace. She reveals herself to be their grandmother, explaining how centuries ago she recognized that children in the human world needed more than just magic. They needed hope. She assembled a network of storytellers, including the legendary Mother Goose, Red Riding Hood, and others, tasking them with spreading tales of courage, wisdom, and redemption to those who needed them most. These stories, passed down through generations, became what the human world knows as fairy tales. The twins' heritage proves even more extraordinary than they imagined. As the first children born of both fairy and human blood, they represent an unprecedented bridge between realms. This dual nature explains Alex's unique ability to activate the magical storybook with just her touch, something no human had ever done before. It clarifies why her tear could substitute for a fairy's in the complex wishing spell ritual, carrying the same magical properties as those of full-blooded fairies. Their mixed heritage places them in a singular position in both worlds. Unlike pure humans, they possess an innate connection to magic. Unlike full fairies, they maintain strong ties to the human world. This unique status makes them neither fully human nor fully fairy, but rather something entirely new, living bridges between two worlds that had long been separate. This revelation transforms their understanding of their entire journey. What appeared to be a random fall through a book was actually a destined return to their magical roots. Their father had blazed this trail years before, using the wishing spell to travel to the human world where he would eventually meet their mother. His detailed journal wasn't just a guide, it was a carefully crafted breadcrumb trail, ensuring his children could find their way back to their magical heritage when the time was right. At its heart, The Land of Stories is a meditation on the power of storytelling itself. The fairy tales that seemed like mere entertainment to the twins are revealed to be carefully crafted messages sent from another world, living testimonies designed to inspire hope in children who needed it most. These stories serve as bridges between worlds, connecting readers to timeless truths and universal experiences. Their grandmother reveals the intentional nature of fairy tale distribution, explaining how she and Mother Goose strategically shared these narratives. "We chose children who needed hope and magic the most and told them our stories. Stories of princesses and princes, of witches and queens, of gnomes and fairies, and beanstalks and giants." These weren't just stories, but lifelines to children facing hardship, offering examples of courage, kindness, and perseverance. Each tale was carefully selected for specific children. Stories of orphaned princesses for those who had lost parents, tales of triumph over poverty for struggling families, and accounts of clever heroes outsmarting giants for those feeling powerless. The twins themselves demonstrate how deeply these stories shape their worldview and decision-making processes. When facing the witch's gingerbread house, they immediately recognize the danger because they know Hansel and Gretel's tale. When Connor needs to stay awake in class, he recalls the moral of The Boy Who Cried Wolf. Alex uses lessons from Snow White to recognize deception, while Connor applies wisdom from The Three Little Pigs to understand the importance of careful planning. The stories provided them with both practical guidance and emotional resilience, serving as a moral compass in challenging situations. Even the villains understand and harness the power of stories for their own ends. The evil queen masterfully manipulates Goldilocks by revealing the true story behind her framing, knowing that this narrative will drive her to seek revenge against Red Riding Hood. The queen demonstrates how stories can be weapons, tools of manipulation that can twist truth and motivate action. The wolf pack uses distorted versions of their history to justify their continued aggression, showing how narratives can perpetuate cycles of violence and revenge. Throughout the book, stories function on multiple levels, as historical records, as prophetic guides, as moral lessons, and as instruments of change. They shape perceptions, influence decisions, and ultimately have the power to transform both individuals and entire kingdoms. The twins learn that stories aren't static tales frozen in time, but living, breathing entities that continue to evolve and impact those who encounter them. In this way, The Land of Stories itself becomes a meta-commentary on the enduring power of narrative to shape reality, influence behavior, and connect generations through shared wisdom and experience. As Alex and Connor journey through the Land of Stories, they undergo profound personal transformations that reshape their understanding of themselves and each other. Alex, always the dedicated rule follower who memorized school policies and corrected her classmates' grammar, learns to trust her instincts and take necessary risks. When she impulsively fills in answers on Connor's math test, an act that would have been unthinkable before their adventure, she realizes that sometimes breaking rules is necessary to help those you love. Her growth continues as she masters her newfound magical abilities, from levitating objects to crafting complex spells. By the end of their adventure, she's confident enough to stand up to fairy councils and evil queens alike, defending not just what's written in books, but what she knows in her heart to be right. Connor's transformation is equally remarkable. Initially appearing shallow and disinterested in school, spending most of his time doodling and making wisecracks, he reveals surprising depths of wisdom and compassion. His interpretation of the boy who cried wolf as a commentary on the overwhelming expectations placed on children shows his previously hidden, insightful nature. During their encounters with familiar fairy tale characters, Connor's quick wit and street smarts repeatedly prove invaluable. Whether he's negotiating with trolls, outsmarting giants, or finding creative solutions to magical problems. When defending Trix before the fairy council, he delivers an impassioned speech about priorities and imperfection that not only changes fairy law, but demonstrates his growth into a thoughtful and articulate young man. Both twins learn to appreciate each other's strengths in ways that transform their relationship. Alex begins to value Connor's practical wisdom and emotional intelligence, particularly his ability to read people in situations. Meanwhile, Connor comes to admire Alex's vast knowledge and unwavering determination, especially when her bookish nature helps them decipher ancient riddles and magical texts. Their complementary skills, Alex's methodical approach and Connor's improvisational talent, make them stronger together than apart, allowing them to overcome challenges neither could face alone, from defeating the evil queen to navigating complex fairy politics. Most importantly, they discover their true identity as children of both worlds, a revelation that reshapes their understanding of their past struggles. This dual heritage explains why Alex always felt more at home in books than reality, spending countless hours in libraries and dreaming of magical realms. It illuminates why Connor could never quite fit into conventional expectations, his restless energy and unique perspective marking him as different from his peers. They aren't just visitors to the land of stories, but rightful inhabitants with magic in their blood, descendants of a long line of portal travelers who have moved between worlds. This discovery helps them understand that their perceived weaknesses, Alex's otherworldliness and Connor's inability to conform, were actually signs of their extraordinary destiny. As their adventure concludes, the twins face a bittersweet choice: return to their mother in the human world, or stay in the land of stories where they found such wonder. Though they ultimately choose to go home, carrying the evil queen's stone heart as a reminder of their journey, their grandmother assures them they'll return someday. Before leaving, they witness one final transformation. Froggy is revealed to be Prince Charlie, the long-lost charming brother who disappeared years ago. His curse lifted, he can finally reunite with his family and perhaps find happiness with Red Riding Hood, who has learned valuable lessons about love and leadership. The twins return home changed by their experiences, carrying not just memories, but a deeper understanding of themselves and their heritage. They now know that fairy tales aren't just stories, but history, their history. The magical book that brought them to the land of stories isn't just a portal, but a family heirloom, connecting generations across worlds. As they step through the magical door to their rental house, they carry the knowledge that magic isn't confined to fairy tales, but exists in their very blood. The boundary between worlds isn't as solid as they once believed, and the stories that shaped their childhood are more real than they ever imagined. The land of stories reminds us that the most powerful magic isn't found in spells or enchanted objects, but in understanding ourselves and the stories we choose to tell. As their grandmother says, sometimes all it takes is one person believing in you to change the world. For Alex and Connor Bailey, that belief, in themselves, in each other, and in the power of stories, is the true wishing spell that transforms their lives forever.